Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Welcome, everyone, to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm one of your hosts, Robin Seegers, and the other host is my husband,
Elroy Seegers.
Okay, so this is what we're doing tonight. A couple weeks ago, we're on this financial journey, and we're taking you step by step the phases that you should be in, should address when you're on your financial journey. So the first step we spoke about a couple weeks ago was financial assessment. That's the way you are financially, taking a look at your environment, like how you were raised when it came to money and where you are now, and just assessing like a when you go to the doctor, when you get a physical every year, you should be physically assessing your finances every so often. Unlike the doctor, you should be doing this probably at least once a month, just seeing where you are financially. So Elroy has an assessment, a financial assessment questionnaire that we came up with that asks questions to just to get a so you can get a feel where you are financially.
Yeah, it's 20 questions, and it's rated, you know, 1 to 20, of course. And it has always, often, sometimes, seldom, and never. And I'm not going to read all the questions, but one of the questions, some of the questions are, I feel comfortable with managing my own finances. You know, it's always, often, sometimes, seldom, never. And it's a rating scale that gives you a score at the end. You come up with this score and get your overall rating of how well you feel you do with finances. Another one is, may sound crazy, but a lot of people have this problem. I understand how to balance my checking account. Another good one is, saving is important to me. I think that's a good one because it may be important to some people, but they don't know how to save. I think saving is important to just about everybody. It's just knowing how to save. But that's just three of the ones that stick out to me. The last one I'm going to mention is I have a written plan budget for spending and or saving my money. Those are some good ones that I think that sticks out of the 20. And those things are essential to managing your money and moving forward in your financial freedom.
Okay, so that was the first step that we went through was financial assessment. You can go on Podbean or the other platforms, which I'll mention at the end, and look at that, listen to that podcast about financial assessment. So this week, the next step is setting realistic goals, goals that you can attain, goals that you can achieve without being hard on yourself. So right. Setting goals will help you take control of your life.
Yes.
Setting goals will help you move forward in your life.
Yep.
Setting goals provide focus and direction.
Yep.
And setting goals provide purpose and a vision for your life.
Say it again.
So it's important to have goals, something to strive for, something to work towards. And these goals should be identified and written down so that you can have them, you know, in your face, basically, so you won't forget them because, you know, out of sight, out of mind. We're human beings, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
It happens.
Right. Say it again.
And doing this will make it easier for you to achieve your goals. Have them written down in your face, always looking at them.
Right.
You'll never forget about them.
Right.
Without written goals, you will be more likely to spend more than you should. So goals are important. They should be written down as well. So now let's look at the time frame for some of these goals.
All right.
Okay, short-term goals are goals that are like from up to a year.
Right.
So Elroy, give us some examples.
An example of a short-term goal could be create a savings account. May sound simple, but a lot of people don't have a savings account. Paying bills on time. Short-term goal. You'd be amazed. I mean, people that don't pay bills on time, therefore impacting their FICO score, having a low score, which would cause you all kinds of problems when it comes to when they buy a car or a house, you know, with the low credit score, high interest rate. And also create an emergency fund account. So those are some short-term goals you want to, those are examples. They don't have to be those. You can set your own short-term goals. But the thing is to understand what a short-term goal is. And that's three quick examples of what a short-term goal is.
And just remember, short-term goals is 0 months to a year. So yeah, at least up to a year. And think about things that you can get squared away the next year, starting in 2023.
Right.
So midterm goals are goals that are from 1 to 5 years.
I like this one.
So Elroy, what are some of the examples?
Paying off credit cards. I think that's essential because we always so used to paying off, paying on the minimum balance.
Mm-hmm.
If you can pay on the minimum balance, $25 a month, you're like, oh, that's as good. But you know, you may end up paying that balance for 40 years because you're going to spend more on that balance when it slowly increase. So paying the minimum balance is not the way to go. You want to have a plan to figure out, if I owe $1,000, let me see if I can pay $100 over the next 10 months and get this thing paid off plus interest, maybe 11 months, that kind of thing. Another is to improve your credit score. Well, you know, if you pay your bills on time, you can pay your credit score is going to rise. So it's not just so much paying just the one bill, it's paying all bills on time. You know, you want to make sure you're ahead of the game. And the last one I love is a safe vacation. Now, Robin said between 1 and 5 years. If you know you're going to go on a vacation next year, you need to start saving that thing now. Like we always say, Christmas happens every year the exact same time. Is that right? December 25th? Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. And you know you want to do something every single year. So why not start some kind of fun to go on vacation, whether you go or not, and you probably will go. It can be used for something. So don't wait till the last minute. Put it on that high interest credit card, and then you end up paying more on the monthly than paying the bill off. You know, we're so focused a lot of times on paying the minimal and not paying the card off or using cash to have it to pay it off once you charge something. We got to stop having that loan type spirit, that paying down spirit on credit cards versus paying off spirit.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree. Okay, so long term.
She agrees. Wow. Right.
Long term is from 5 to 20 years.
Yes, yes. I know she says 5 to 20 years, not 5 to 30, because that includes paying off your house, paying off a car, and paying off student debt. You're probably saying, oh, that's a big one because my house is a lot, my car is a lot, and the debt is a lot. But there are so many programs out there to help you pay off student loans. There's so many things as far as how to pay off your car early. You know, if your car, you know, one good thing I always do, I always try to do double up my payments. I try to pay more. Same thing for a house. You know, doing bi-weekly payments help you pay off a house sooner because there's an extra payment built in every year, 2 payments extra. Monthly, you get 12 payments. Bi-monthly, you get 26 payments. So you automatically get 2 extra payments built into your principals every year. So you end up saving about 6 or 7 years automatically by doing bi-weekly. So that's another way to just pay it every 2 weeks. And guess what? You have that loan being paid off a little bit more. So that's a goal you should do. And then maybe pay off more on your car. You know, figure out a plan where you can figure out to pay this student debt down. You know, there's, like I said, there's so many programs out there that you can look into. And I always say, people, you know, you got to get busy. You got to get moving because God blesses movement. So the first thing you need to do is start investigating how you can do those things and sitting down and come up with a plan.
So you're saying if you pay your mortgage bi-weekly,
mm-hmm.
bi-weekly, you get 2 extra payments.
Yes.
So instead of 12, it's 14.
So it's 26 payments. So you see what I'm saying? Because
okay,
yeah,
okay,
because
you're doing it not monthly,
right,
bi-weekly.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Okay. So okay, if you think about it, if you let's say you did it monthly, right? That's 12 payments.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say if you did it bi-monthly, it's still 24 payments, right? Because it's twice a month.
Right, right.
Bi-weekly,
okay,
is 26 payments.
Extra.
So those
okay,
2 payments, the bank, what they do, they take those 2 payments and put it on principal.
Okay.
Straight principal. So let's say your payment is $1,800. The first payment, $900 goes towards principal. The second one goes towards principal. So now you made $1,800 payments, dollars in the payments towards your principal.
Mm-hmm.
Over a course of a life of a contract, you can cut it down 6 or 7 years just by doing bi-weekly. Now let's say I'm going to take my, you know, tax return check maybe, or take an extra $100 per paycheck and put it on principal. So you're doing that payment plus that, you're going to save even more money each year because you can pay off that house sooner.
Fast.
And guess what? You can do the exact same thing for a car.
Okay.
By weekly payments.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of people probably didn't even realize that they could do that.
Yeah. At houses, that's the best ones, you know, because it's long term. The house is definitely a benefit because you can see, they'll tell you, you can save 6 or 7 years right off the bat. You have to ask those questions because the bank's trying to make money on you. They want you to have that long-term payment, 30-year payment. Mm-hmm. They don't really want you to do bi-weekly. You know, there may be a small processing fee, maybe $2 or $3 per process per every time you do it. But it's a very small monthly fee for that. But it's well worth it to save 7 years on your house. You figure 7 years times 12 months.
Yeah.
How much you're going to save per month versus $3 over processing fee. A lot of time people get hung up in the $3, $4, $5 processing fee. It's not worth getting hung up on it. You know, so some banks don't charge you nothing. I don't know. Some banks may, if you're a veteran, there may be different things out there they may offer you for free. Mm-hmm. There's different things you got to look into. But I always tell people, call and ask the questions. You never know till you ask. You know, if you don't ask, guess what? You won't know. Knowledge is power.
And so I'm going to segue on to this, Elroy. You just got a message from someone about student debt.
Mm-hmm.
Tell that story. You don't have to say the people's name, but tell that story.
So basically, I was talking to somebody about, you know, student debt. And I was telling them, hey, there's so many programs out there and you really need to start doing your own investigation. You know, there's so many student loan debt relief programs they have available. And the rule is always, it's fluid, it changes. You know, it goes from, I think, I'm not too sure, don't quote me on this right here. They was counting the number of months that you work plus the number of times you paid into the student loan to come up with some kind of calculations because there was a small percentage of people qualifying for their loan program. Mm-hmm. It was so small, the government, this is not working, we got to come up with another plan. So the text I got was the person I was talking to, this person got blessed with a text saying, basically, hey, guess what? I was in this program, and I thought it was going to be years before I got my loan relief for all this money, the debt. And due to the new calculations, they got their loan released several years in advance.
So they're relieved of that loan instead of waiting years down the road.
They was doing their part. You know, like, I don't know how long they was paying into it, but let's just say it was paying 3 years into it, right? Mm-hmm. And then they got 7 more years to pay into it. They got 7 years of relief. I don't know the actual numbers, but the fact he said several years tells me it's more than just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
So now that debt is removed. Now they can start putting money into their retirement. I always tell people, if you don't send emails, if you don't make phone calls, if you don't ask questions, they won't know your name. Your name's in the same pile as anybody else who's not calling. Get your name out that pile. Get your name in the pile of someone who's interested. Make yourself different. Make yourself appealing. Call these people, talk to these people, send emails, tell them your story, because they tend to help out people who's motivated to make a change in their life. So only way you can make a change in life is you pick up and call somebody.
Right.
Sit down, send an email. I'm an advocate for myself. Robin, you know, I'm going to call somebody in a heartbeat. I need a discount. Or I need this to be dismissed. And most of the time when I ask those questions, they're more than happy to say, look, let me see what I can do for you. And that's the start of the journey. Let me see what I can do for you. It may not be what you want, but you may get something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And guess what? Now you have formed a communication line with that person. They're going to put it in your file. Everyone's secrets, call these callers, asking about X, Y, and Z. And next, you know, I'm getting a letter in the mail saying it's been relieved. Not only that, a friend at work told me she was in the program too, and she got relieved of $60,000 for student loan out of the blue. Out of the blue.
See, one thing I learned from you is don't be afraid to ask the question, because when you don't ask, you saying no. Asking a question, there's a possibility of yes and a possibility of no, but you let them decide. When you don't ask, you're deciding for yourself that the answer is no.
Yep. Yep.
But when you ask, you have two options, yes or no. So let them tell you no. Don't you tell yourself no. And always ask.
I think a maybe is a yes.
Yeah.
When someone say maybe, I'm like Steve Urkel. Oh, yeah. This is going to work for me. She likes me.
So you have not because you asked not. Yep. So you have to do your due diligence and start researching and digging. And like Elroy said, move your name to from that pile of
be different.
They're not looking at you to the pile that, oh, I'm going to look at this person's situation.
Yep. God bless his movement.
Yeah, and definitely.
That's one way to get your finances moved in the right area is by making those phone calls. I tell people all the time, you got to do something. If you want it bad enough, you got to do something. No matter how big that debt may seem to you, to them, it's just like, oh, well, write it off.
Yeah. You
know, it's no big deal, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Start somewhere.
So this our whole premise for these sessions are to get people moving in that direction and giving thought.
Yep.
So we're going to keep doing these series at least once a month to give you a time to take in to what we just said and maybe put some legs on it and start moving before we do the next session. So a couple weeks ago was financial assessment. This week is realistic goals. Mm-hmm. And now Elroy want to speak to you about the acronym SMART.
Be smart. SMART means S-M-A-R-T. SMART, the S means be specific in your goal. You really want to detail what that goal looks like. You know, you don't want to be generic. I want to save $1,000 for my vacation trip next year. That's very specific. Not like I'm going to start saving for my trip. That's non-specific. So you know you have a set amount. You know what you're going to do. You go out and you start doing it. You can even break it down even more. I'm going to save $10 per paycheck, $100 per paycheck. You want to set a specific goal, what you're trying to achieve. Other than this, something that's measurable. Exact same thing. You know exactly what you're trying to achieve. I'm going to keep using the word vacation time because, you know, we need to take vacation to de-stress. I think it's very important for anybody to set some time aside with your family, by yourself, you know, to go do some things. That's very measurable. I'm going to set some aside every paycheck so I can achieve a certain goal. Walk right into the A, achievable. Make sure you don't set your goals too large. You know, what I mean by large is I once had somebody I was working with and they was like, I want to save $4,000 by X, Y, and Z month. I'm like, that's aggressive. I think you're going to burn yourself out. So let's lower that number and be more something realistic as far as your goal. So yes, I think you can get $4,000 if everything goes right. Everything is right on cue. Well, we all know things happen in life.
Life happens.
So I'm like, you know, $4,000 is everything's going right. So let's set a goal of $2,000. And we hit the $2,000 goals plus $300, $400 extra. So that was achievable. We all know it'd be great if what I say I'm going to do happens. Flat tire. something in the house break down. Doctor's appointment. Things just happen, unexpected. That comes out of your emergency fund or something, but it's going to take away from your goal that you're trying to achieve. So you want to make sure whatever you're setting the goal out to be, it's achievable. You're not setting yourself up for failure.
Right, because the minute it does not work, you're disappointed and you're going back to your old habits.
Yep. And man, it's so funny because SMART rolls into the next thing, realistic. Be realistic about your goals. Don't make it so that it's so far out there you can't achieve it. Because if it's like something you can't achieve, you're going to start setting yourself up. You're going to start feeling bad about your goals. So you want to make it so simple that you achieve it. Like, oh, I did great. That's setting yourself up for you too. You want to make it challenging enough that you know you can achieve it, but it's going to take work to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to say, hey, I'm going to save $10 a month. Okay. I'd save $10, but I just blew $300. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you want to say, you know what? I need to do better. Let me just save $200. And now you're blowing less. Then next month, you may tweak that a little bit. So you want to make your goals realistic and achievable. All right? The last one is T as in timing. Everything I think you do in life comes with timing because you got to be ready and mentally ready to start these goals. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people put things off because they always say, oh, time is not right. Hey, time is never right to have a baby, is it? We know that they happened twice. I'm going to have X amount of money. I want to have $10,000 in my account before I have my first baby. Yeah, that's still not going to work. So time is important. You want to make sure that you talk to your partner, if you're a partner, and you want to do things in a timely manner, meaning that, you know, you're not wasting the time between things you're trying to achieve. I'm going to use it again, the vacation thing. You know, you have a goal set aside and you want to say, I want to do this in X amount of time. And you want to do it in a measurable amount where you say, hey, this thing that you and I are trying to do for action, you know, we're trying to do something next year. We already got this thing set aside what we want to do. It's going to fit our budget. It's going to fit our time window. We know we can achieve it and we know it's realistic. And it's timely for us because we don't have anything else going on, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And if we do, we have to change it and tweak a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure it fits your lifestyle also.
Right, right. Because you don't want to restrict yourself
yes.
to go on this trip. And then now you feel like you're suffering yes. for this trip. And then yeah. you give up altogether.
Prioritizing. You know, and I guess we can go into the segue of journals and stuff because you mm-hmm. was talking about that. I think it's critical that when you on this goal, you start to journal what your life is about and where you're going, because it helps you to relate your feelings. I'm working with somebody right now and I would say, are you putting down the journal? I said, because you want to be able to look back and see where you were and how you felt that day and how positive it is, you know, good, better, best days. I don't want to say bad days. I say good, better, or best days, because it's always a positive thinking. You can read back years later and say, wow, this is amazing. I look back the other day, I had a spreadsheet back in 2013, 10 years ago. And I looked at the spreadsheet, I was like, man, this is amazing that, you know, we were doing this right here and we was able to make it on just a little bit of money. And we was doing great then on just a little bit of money. I'm like, wow, it's amazing how far we've come, you know, financially and spiritually and where we are and the things that we're doing right now. So it doesn't matter how small or mediocre you think you may be, you know, things can work out in your favor in small groups of things, small niggas in life.
A lot of big things come from small beginnings. Yeah,
well, what is sand made of?
Yeah, yeah. So don't think, I don't make that kind of money. Right. I don't make enough money to budget or right. to have goals and set goals. Yes, you do. Yep, you making money, yep. you can set goals. It doesn't matter how much.
You need it. So just journal things. I think journaling, tracking your goals and your spending habits, that's essential to success, to financial freedom. You know, I employ, no matter what age you are, to save, to journal your money, because you'd be amazed. It's not just millennials that's doing journals. It's anybody, any age that's starting this path. You know, we've talked to people that's in their 60s, you know, just trying to get their finances in order. And we tell them to write things down so you can go back and visit those things. So it's not about the age group. It's about the actual process that mm-hmm. you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not age specific. It's the process. And when you'd be amazed, like I said, you go back and look at something you wrote last year, you're like, man, even last week, you know, I was talking to somebody I was working with the other day, and I said, did you write down how you felt when that happened to you? I did. I said, okay. Then something good happened to you. I said, did you write that down, how that felt? I did. Now go back and read those last two statements and see the difference, you know, because you had a plan in place, you felt better. Where before, you're just like, man, you're just getting your plan in place. And we were just coming up to speed to put a plan in place. Now we have a plan in place, and now you feel good about an emergency. I said, how good does that feel to have some money in your account that you can lean on yourself, not somebody else?
Yes, they didn't have to borrow money for the emergency. Like, wow. They had it.
They felt bad mm-hmm. because, oh, it's always happening to me. I got to use this money. Oh, that's what it's there for, honey. Use that money. Save yourself. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I said, how's it feel now? You're right. I said, who you had to borrow from your mom? You had to borrow from your daddy, your uncles, your nieces, your friends? No, who you rely on? Yourself. And she was like, thank you. I needed that. So a lot of times when you're so used to living paycheck to paycheck and not having anything, when things happen, you lose your mind. I'm just thankful for the fact that she texted me and I said, okay, let's have a check. Let's have a moment here. Let's think about this thing right here, where God is taking you to. You borrowing or you taking care of yourself? So when she realized that, she was like, you're right. I'm in a good place. Yes, you're in a great place. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Journaling that stuff down and reflecting back on that, it gives you a different insight to yourself and where you are, mm-hmm. where you're going. Mm-hmm. It really does. It does work.
We're stronger than what we give ourselves
yes,
credit
most
for.
Definitely. Most definitely.
We're definitely stronger
most definitely.
Than what we really. think we are, and you have to give yourself a chance, and you're gonna make mistakes and you're gonna mess up, but it's all about learning from it, growing and moving forward, and working to not make that mistake again.
Right.
We're human, so it happens.
So this is the last thing I'm gonna comment on. It's the important goals, and you can wrap it up maybe you want to. It's the four things that I'm gonna talk about. Creating a savings account, the 1A and 1B. The 1A is create emergency savings. The 1B is create a 3 to 6 month savings account. Number 2 is contribute to your company retirement plan, because a lot of times they do matching. You don't want to get that thing up. I have so many people that say, hey, Errol, I want to look into getting some stock outside. I'm like, did your company match? Yeah. Are you using it? No. So why would you put money outside that's not matching versus your company that is matching? Put your money in your company first. Maximize that first. When you maximize that, come back and talk to me. Until you do that, let's not have a conversation, because a lot of people miss out on that free money. That's free money. They match 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. It does not matter. They're matching what you're putting in. They're giving you money for putting in some of your money. So start there first. Number 4, number 3 is pay off debt. And the last thing is invest in the stock market. You know, you invest in your 401k, your TSP, those kind of things that help you have a long-term life. You know, it is a marathon. You know, we want a quick turnaround on our money. You're in it for the long haul. And the earlier you get into it, the more you make. By the time you get to a certain age, you can pull that money out and retire and have a nice life. That's it for me, honey.
And last but definitely not least, because it was just placed on my heart, always love on God by giving and worshiping through your tithes and offering.
Right. No, she says giving. She didn't say pay.
No, you don't pay God anything. You worship Him through giving, tithes, and offering.
Yep. Amen.
You know, so you keep that in the forefront of all it is.
Amen.
Because He blesses us each morning. He wakes us up to do what we do for our families and jobs and get to work safely and get us home safely. So we can worship Him. We should. He commands us to worship Him through giving of our tithes and offerings. I'll mention that every session so that people will always hear that, because we always want to honor God for all that He does for us. So we're going to wrap this up with giving you guys our social media handles. We have a podcast on these platforms. The Financiology 101 podcast is on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean, and I just added iHeartRadio.
You're doing your thing, girl.
So all you got to do is pull up those platforms and then in the search bar put in Financiology 101 and we should come up. Also, you can go to our website, giftedgenerations-llc.com. That's our website. And remember, don't forget the dash, because if you put in giftedgenerations.com, we're not sure what you're going to get.
Don't blame us.
giftedgenerations-llc.com. Facebook, we're Gifted Gen LLC. Instagram, we're gift.gen. And YouTube, we're at Gifted Generations LLC. And all this information is on the webpage, the Podbean webpage, all these handles. So that way you can always find all the other podcasts. And we have a lot out there about different topics, financial topics. So check them out. And we just thank you for listening. And please download, listen, and share.
All right.
All righty. Thank you again. And stay financially fit and have a wonderful night.
This is Erwin Robin signing off.
Good night. Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financiology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.